A Black Executive Perspective now presents Need to Know with the award-winning hyphenated Dr. Nsenga Burton. Dr. Burton, what do we need to know?
Good afternoon and welcome to Need to Know with Dr. Nsenga Burton. I am she. Today I am coming to talk to you about a very, very difficult topic. And this is a trigger warning for people who may be survivors of domestic violence situations or scenarios. But I want to talk about the fact that there have been a multitude of high profile killings of Black women at the hands of their domestic partners. In one situation in Chicago, Dr. Barbara Cheers was killed by her son, and who then killed himself. And then, of course, I think everybody, the free world, knows about Dr. Serena Fairfax, who was killed by her husband, the former lieutenant governor of Virginia, Justin Fairfax, and who also then committed suicide, killed himself. Unalived himself, I think, is the term that people like to use now because they think it is more sensitive. So my apologies if I've harmed anybody by using the S word. And then, of course, the sister down in Florida who was the vice mayor, whose husband killed her. And we could keep going. The young woman who was 8 months pregnant, who was killed by her, who's alleged to have been killed by her domestic partner. So there's a lot going on in our community. And then, of course, the gentleman who killed 8 children and tried to kill the mother and her mother in the process. So there's something going on in our community, and this is not new. You know, domestic violence has been an issue across the board. Like, America is a violent place. We have more guns than any other. I don't think we have more guns than Canadians or actually other folks, but we use them against each other more often than anybody else. That is true. Black women are are the greatest number of women killed by their domestic partners. And it's like over 50%, right? So depending on what you're cutting across in terms of demographics, it can be, anywhere from 51% to 70 something percent. Any percentage is too high. But I think living under the stress of being Black in America shows up in ways that are dangerous for Black women, particularly when you're sitting next to living with, building a life with someone who may or may not see your value, right? Who may or may not think they're in competition with you. Who may or may not think that what you do isn't enough. For example, Dr. Fairfax, Justin Fairfax was accused of sexual abuse, sexual assault by 2 different women. And that led to his downfall, right? And she stayed with him through that, but that wasn't enough. He was unable to reboot because he couldn't really get over, from what I've read, and I read a lot of what Sophia Nelson wrote and watched some of her videos and other folks. But it appears that he was obsessed with the fact that he had been wronged. In his mind, he had been wronged, and that he had, which had led to his downfall. He was having a hard time of rebounding. So he wasn't able to get the big jobs with the firms, which is something that typically happens with politicians when they leave politics, right? They go work with the firms and get them those wonderful government contracts, things of that nature. But he wasn't able to do that. And she still stayed with him. He went into this deep, dark depression and became a raging alcoholic. And she still stayed with him. He was not contributing to the household financially. He was really stuck in his office, stayed in his office most of the time. And she did everything, all the things for their children, and paid all the bills. And that wasn't enough. I'm not going to even pretend to put myself in the middle of their relationship. But what I am saying is that she had had enough and was filing for divorce and was leaving. And that is actually the most dangerous time for women, is when they are trying to leave or separate from their batterer, mental abuser. Maybe someone hasn't put their hands on you yet, but they have decided that you are property or what have you. He killed her and then killed himself and left 2 children who were in the house at the time without parents. And a lot of people talk about mental health. And as you all know, I'm a co-author of a book on mental health. But a lot of people who are mentally ill do not kill their domestic partners. They deal with it. They get the help that they need and all of that. So I think in some cases we use it as an excuse. And I know back in the day, I didn't really want to hear that. But now I've lived long enough to understand what people meant when they were saying that. And I think I do agree with it for the most part, that people deal with depression and all kinds of setbacks and all kinds of mental illnesses and manage to not kill other people. And people, you know, because quite frankly, who deal with depression are more likely to harm themselves than other people, right? So you got to keep an eye on them for that. But having said that, it just wasn't enough. And I think that we have to talk about the ways in which we are, as a society, just talking about the roles of women, right? This return to the past. Women should be submitting. Women should be complying with men. Women should be, I saw a video of some white woman, telling women, like, you have to be brave enough to not use birth control. And this was at CPAC. I think it was CPAC conference. You have to be brave enough not to use birth control and to have as many babies as you can to ensure, she's talking about whiteness, the continuance of your line, and basically, you know, to fulfill God's wishes. And, you know, when I was listening to that, I was thinking, yeah, this is why people get killed. Not because of her, like Justin killed Serena, but people get killed because they really believe that women are property, are less than, and that their only job is to be, to produce children and to do whatever the man tells them to do. So when you run into women like black women, and we're all descendants of matriarchal societies. That means societies that were run by women. And we're here obviously because of, you know, the slave trade, right? But that is kind of, that's our DNA. We are matriarchal people. I believe that the reason that black women head their households, and that's 70% of the households, is because that is kind of what we do. And so if you want to partner with us, you have to be ready to accept that we have to have some autonomy in our lives. And I will also argue that women who have previously been property and had little to no rights over their life, what happened to their children, what happened to their partners, all of those things are very, very much against being made to feel like or treated like property again. And you may be able to get that with other women, you know, non-black women non-black women who are not the descendants of enslaved people in this country, but you're not going to get it here because we're not really socialized to be that, because we would have never been able to get out of slavery had black women believe that about themselves, right? We would have never been able to fight for black men to get the right to vote, although we didn't get it until many, many years, decades later, right? If black women really believe that, all right? So I think there's a lot of things happening, right? There are too many guns by people who are violent and mean-spirited and abusive and psychopathic. So we got to do something about that. There's too much violence in our communities against women in general and black women specifically. So we need people to be talking about that and to stop trying to excuse away bad behavior. I'm going to talk to my brother specifically right now. And I'm kind of a guy's girl, so I'm around men a lot. But you all need to start holding each other accountable. Like, if you want to see somebody just pretend like something isn't happening when their boy is doing some random whack shit, find a man. I don't think it's just black men. I just hang out with a lot of black men. I think it's all men. But you have got to start holding your boys accountable and holding each other accountable. You cannot look the other way. You can't pretend that it's okay when you see that domineering and controlling behavior, when you see that emotionally abusive behavior, when you see them spiraling and you hear them spiraling and you just don't intervene because you don't have time to deal with that, you know, or that's him, he's a man, I'm gonna let him be a man, you know, he got to deal with that. Well, no, men need help too. And men need help. And women need men, other men, to intervene. Because our interventions are clearly not working. Your sister, you know, Fairfax was on the phone with his mama before he killed his wife and then himself. All right, so the mamas ain't working, the sisters were talking to you ain't working. So something's got to happen. But what cannot continue to happen is the senseless murder of Black women of all walks of life. It's not just the doctors and the lawyers and the judges. It is all women. You know, it's the factory worker. It's the homemaker, right? It's the lady who works at Walmart. It's the lady at the post office, all right? It has to stop. We've got to do something about it. And so what I need you to know that there are resources out there, okay? You can, you know, call many different types of resources. There's domestic violence hotline, and I just forgot the phone number in my head. I'm sorry. But there's a domestic violence hotline. There are people who can help you strategize on how to leave and keep your life. There are things that you can do to create boundaries between you and your person, i.e. you don't have to stay in the house with somebody who abuses you because you can't afford to leave. There are resources. Even some churches have resources. I remember I was at church in LA. I used to go to Faithful Central. And I remember one time Pastor Almer, it was domestic violence awareness or whatever. And I remember one time he said, you know, if you're in an abusive relationship and you need help and you don't feel like you can get out of it because you can't afford it, come to the front. And when I tell you, women were streaming to the front, and they paid to have those women taken out of their homes and to put into safe places. And that is what churches should be doing, but that's another podcast. But that's one of the, and churches are doing it, right? Not all of them, but many of them are. So, you know, don't think that you can't, I mean, know your people. Cause like some churches will be like, go over there and get your head beat in, cause the Bible says so. If that's your church, don't go to them. Go to places and resources, you know, that can help. You know, you can find a psychologist or a psychiatrist in Psychology Today, Black ones, if that's who you want to work with. You can call domestic violence hotlines. You can call your local law enforcement agencies. They have resources as well. All right. So, and then, of course, all the sororities like D&I, this is where you step in. All the sororities are already doing this work. The links are already doing this work. So if you know somebody like, oh, my friend's a Delta, my friend's an AKA, my friend's in the links, or, you know, my friend's cousin, aunt, or something, ask them. They can help you. They can help you. All right. So I just wanted to say that I need you to know that we are in trouble. I usually don't speak on behalf of all Black women because we are not a monolith, but I feel comfortable in saying that we are in trouble. And that being in a romantic or intimate partner relationship with a man with a gun in your house is probably the most dangerous thing that you are facing right now, based on the numbers, particularly if you don't have or you're not part of a relationship where there is mutual respect, affection, and there is an appreciation of equity in the relationship, and that you're with someone who recognizes you as a whole person and a human being and not as property of. So please be careful and be mindful and pay attention to signs that someone is spiraling or that someone is trying to harm you, right? So, you know, with Serena, when she put cameras in the house and they didn't have them in there before, flag, sign. Intervene, men and women, intervene. And sometimes you can't get people out, but if you can, intervene. When your partner calls the police on you and tries to file a false release police report to stop you from, you know, having access to your children or moving forward with your divorce or whatever, that's a flag. Get out. And no house, I don't care what it is, especially if you can afford it, is worth your life. He don't want to leave? Cool. Going to the grocery store, taking the kids, and we ain't never coming back. You ain't got to leave. We out. All right. And I know that's tough talk. I've not been in a domestic violence situation. Knock on wood. My cousin was killed by her husband. Murder-suicide. I know other people whose family members were killed. Murder-suicide. I know people who've been in domestic violence situations, and I've had to help get them out of it. Like, you know, when I think about it and I start thinking about it, it's so many people. So I really know it's by the grace of God that I have not had to deal with that situation in my own intimate partner relationships. But I would like to think, that someone would help me if that were the situation. So sometimes you had to be somebody's help. So that's it. I need you to know we got a problem. We need to handle it. And we need to have our head on a swivel and be ready to move and to help people get out of these situations to the best of our ability. All right. So tune in next week to another wonderful podcast, a Black Executive Podcast, Black Executive Perspective Podcast. I'm messing up, Tony. I have been getting that good for a long time. With Tony and Chris, who are amazing. They talk about lots of different topics. They can actually stomach people on the right. I cannot, which is why I just stay over here in my little 10-minute lane. And they have these really important conversations. So make sure you tune in and check them out. And you can tune in next week to hear me again. And I wish you a wonderful day. I want you to stay informed, pursue justice, and whatever you do, stay Black.
A Black Executive Perspective.